Welcome to This Commerce Life. We are an unscripted podcast dedicated to small businesses and entrepreneurs in the retail and consumer packaged goods space in Canada and the United States.
I'm Phil Chang, co-host and co-founder.
And I'm Kenny Vannucci, co-host and co-founder of This Commerce Life.
Our love is the journey to retail, and our passion is sharing that with you every week.
Yeah, I'm feeling very, very rested at this point. I mean, I'm looking forward to this weekend, don't get me wrong, because it'll be, you know, a couple weeks of being on for 14 days straight. So it's a well-deserved rest. We're going to head to our cottage, which is on the shores of Lake Huron. And when it's a seasonal cottage, so we don't get up there in the winter. Yeah. And so it'll be our first.
Oh, that'll weekend. Be nice.
Yeah. Oh,
that'll be really nice. Yeah.
That well area deserved, is really pretty. Yeah. Like, just really pretty.
Yeah, white, really beautiful beaches, and it's an awesome bike path. So, like, get out and stretch my legs a bit. So
everybody says that. I know some other people have been have places in those areas, and it's wonderful. Like, I mean, those lakes are like oceans, right? So
they really are inland oceans. Absolutely, there's more shipwrecks there than I think there is in on the east coast of Canada. So it's,
probably.
Yeah. Probably. No. It's actually a statistical fact. And
well, Superior if you're a scuba for sure diver, is taken down.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, because on the Great Lakes, if there's a storm, there's nowhere to run. No. We're out in the ocean, the ships can turn and, you know, head another way, and you're kind of stuck in the Great Lakes. So,
well, some of those storms that come through are pretty freaking huge too, right? They take all lakes.
Big time.
Right?
Big time.
Well, yeah. I've been rescued twice on the Georgian Bay.
Have you?
Yeah, because we were out. One time I was kayaking and one time I was canoeing, and we were out. And just, you know, got caught in the middle of a storm, right? And they just knew, they knew where to find us. They just know, right? Like, it's just one of those things. And like, it's quite surprising because it's not, it's a big body of water and it looks clear. And then when the storm hits you, like, literally there's nowhere to go, right? Like,
Exactly.
Well, you can have ocean swells too. Like, you can get, you can get, you know. 10, 15, 20 foot waves in the wrong places, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the canoe, we had gotten tossed out of the canoe, right? Because of the waves. And then but they found us just as we were getting tossed out. But otherwise it could have been really bad, right? So
lucky for you guys that someone was around. Jesus.
Are you here then, Phil? Do you live here?
Yeah. I live in Toronto. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay,
I'm in Mississauga. So
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Man. I'm the only one that lives in the lovely West Coast.
Yeah, for some reason I thought you guys were both West Coasters, but gotcha.
I think when I'm around Kenny, everyone assumes that, right? Kenny's like your epitome of the West Coast, if you will. So he's an East fan guy in the whole bit.
The epitome of West Coast, I even get Jesus. Right there. Every right podcast, there. I get a new designation that I don't know how they. Wow. I do nothing West Coast. I don't golf. I don't ski. I don't boat. I live in East Van. I mean, that's the epitome of what? East Van.
You're a classic East Vanner, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll go with that. I'll take that one and run. I'll take that one and run.
So we've got Matt LeBeau on, president of LeBeau Excel Sales and Marketing. We're excited to have him on. I was just saying before we started taping, Kenny, that normally we meet everyone after we've recorded an episode. And this time we met Matt before in person, and now we're doing a podcast, which is weird.
Had you met Matt before the show this weekend? Oh, so I've known Matt. No. I think
you and I are connected through LinkedIn, and we have like a million mutual connections, right? Yeah. But right. I'd met other folks from LeBeau, but not you. Clearly.
Okay. So you're right. Until we'd set up this appointment, you and I weren't even connected on LinkedIn, I think. But Kenny and I go back probably 20 years.
Pure Source?
Yeah, that's when I first started calling on you, exactly, at your London Drugs days.
And that's got to be what? When did you leave Pure Source?
I left Pure Source about 15 years ago.
Okay, so then it's 15 to 20 years, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, so welcome to the show. We're excited to have you. That's kind of about as much of an intro as I'm going to do. Like, after this, we'd love to hear a little bit about you, where you come from, and then sure. kind of what you're doing now, and
why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes you work in this industry? Why?
Exactly. Why am I here? That's the question I ask myself every day.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then it's up to you, Matt, where the conversation goes. Right.
Yeah.
Conversation's yours after that. It's basically your show.
Okay.
We just like to know your story, what you do, why you do it, where you're from.
Totally.
Light it up.
Started out in a family business. Entrepreneurialism kind of came from my grandfather, owned a masonry company back in the day, and Italian on my mother's side. So all of us cousins, male cousins, particularly back then, got to go to the job site pretty early on and play cleanup and laborers. And so hard work was introduced to us fairly early. He also owned a farm. So I got to kind of start to learn food systems and, you know, where do the animals go post raising them, and, you know, being at abattoirs, being at auctions. And I still have a soft spot in auctions. My wife hates going to auctions with me because I never walk out with nothing. So
that's our problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But then started part-time packing groceries at Zaire's Markets, which is a division of Loblaws, which was headquartered in Cambridge, Ontario, back in the day. And I spent 10 years with them. And I rose up through the ranks and was a district manager. Specifically, my title was a grocery specialist. So they had a specialist by department, and we all traveled around the 63 Zaire's stores in southwestern Ontario and dealt with merchandising, planograms, the odd union issue. Mostly that was dealt with more senior, but specifically restore refurbs and new stores. The setup crews answered into the specialists. So there was produce deli, and I was the grocery specialist. And then at the time, you know, organic foods, natural foods was really just emerging. We sold cereal, soy milk, and snacks, and that was the extent of it. And Pure Source was one of my two suppliers. The other one was Timbuktu, which eventually became Snapdragon and was purchased by ID Foods. And when Zaire's head office was closing, they said, everybody's going to 22 St. Clair in downtown Toronto. And I was definitely not a Toronto guy. And I said, yeah, no thanks. And so I started looking around, and I got three job offers. One was with a company called Fireco, which was general merchandise stuff hanging down the aisles. One was called Primo Pasta, which the brand still exists today, but it was a separate company, and then Pure Source Inc. And I was like, I think this natural foods thing has legs. So I jumped into that and never looked back. Spent 12 years there, became a shareholder, ended my career there as VP sales and marketing, and changed my life really from what I eat and how I view food systems in a big way. I spent a lot of time on boards during my time at Pure Source. I started being on the Organic Council of Ontario and got introduced to kind of these volunteer boards. And I still continue that today. After we sold Pure Source, I jumped in as a consultant with what is now UNFI Canada. At the time, it was SunOpta Distribution, and it owned Purity Life. It owned Wild West, Supreme Foods. I think they bought 12 different distributors over 5 years and tried to consolidate it. And it was just crazy town, to be honest with you, trying to bring all those cultures together. And of course, the day I started, their stock went from about $14 to under $1 because they had to retract their NASDAQ results because they lost $30 million in organic strawberries. Nobody could find them. And so business development, there wasn't much development going on. It was like all hands on deck, survival. Exactly. So 2 years of that. And I realized, I don't like working for big companies. I remembered at Loblaws, being a cog in the wheel, and SunOpta brought that back up for me after being, you know, my own boss at Pure Source in many ways and driving the bus. Mm-hmm. Or at least getting a shift to drive the bus, you know, but I was like, yeah, I'm unemployable. So I better start my own company. And I was like, what's easy, quick, and, you know, I can utilize my contacts. And I've been watching brokers do their thing for years, and they're, you know, they're villains in the food system from the perspective, everybody likes to kick them around. But I was like, hey, I got a deck of contacts, I got a laptop, I got a phone, and this is easy. I was able to sign some brands to be able to support my own wages right out of the gate. And then I signed a brand, added a person, signed a brand, added a person. And now we're 30 people strong nationwide. Wow. We actually only have 24 suppliers as we sit here and talk today. And that number flexes. We just, mm-hmm. we want to be different than some of the other guys and not have 50, 60, 100 brands. And it's really about business development and driving results for us. So we're constantly reviewing where are we at, you know, against budget and you know, trying to be part of the budgetary planning process with our vendors. So I kind of act as a VP sales and I come with my own sales team is our model more. So it's much more intimate, long-term relationships where, you know, lots of other brands I think are dissatisfied and always looking for a change and flipping from direct sales team to broker. And so, yeah, that's, and so we just actually, in contrary to COVID, we bought our own building where a lot of people are kind of get rid of office space.
Yeah.
Commercial real estate was a bit of a lull. And about a year ago, we bought a place and we moved from Guelph, which is known as an Ontario food hub with OMAFRA and the University of Guelph ag programs. And we bought a building in Fergus. So we just moved our company from Guelph to Fergus in the last year and
kind of right next door, really.
Yeah, literally, yeah. You know, 12 kilometers north, but yeah. A world away in, you know, social communities is the reality. So different business community up here. I'm learning and I've lived here for 17 years. So we'd already integrated into the community from a, you know, kids and family perspective.
So where's a Fergus relative to a Toronto? So I got
it's about an hour west of the airport. It's really not much further than Guelph. Okay. Guelph's right along the 401 and you got to go through Guelph and keep going north. You know, as I said, 15 kilometers on Highway 6 is where Fergus is. Yeah.
I remember, I think memory serves me right. Cause when you were in Guelph, you're in it's in a residential neighborhood, but in a house almost, right? For a while?
Yeah, for a period. Yeah, I owned that house. It was actually my bachelor apartment and it was a triplex.
Yeah.
And I got into a bit of trouble with the city of Guelph for having too many apartments in it.
But that was awesome. Had to, I remember that place.
Put the business in there to, get back in line with the low municipal laws.
rules, schmools, whatever.
Hopefully no one from the city of Guelph is watching this podcast.
Yeah, they're fine. You're not in Guelph anymore anyway. What are they going to do?
Exactly. That house is long gone.
Yeah, that's gone. Move on.
That's awesome. No, this is awesome. And you're building, it sounds like you're growing and building an amazing business. So if I go back for a second, because I like what I thought was really neat, I kind of loved the timing of this. Kenny and I never prepare for anything, but the timing on this one makes a ton of sense because like you're coming out of CHFA, for example. And so if you're a brand that was at the show, you know, you notice a few things, right? You notice that some of these, you know, some of them were, or a lot of them were organized by, you know, kind of organizational groups or people that are representing them. But then there was a whole series of brands that didn't have representation, right? They were kind of like out there on their own or didn't appear to.
Didn't appear to.
You know, but we did hear that question a lot is, you know, brands that don't have representation are going, well, how do I pick? Like, what do I do? You know, that helps me be, you know, because clearly some of these that are arranged, they have a competitive advantage over some of these guys who are out there on their own. So that might be, you probably get that question a lot, right?
It's without knocking your thing, they could go to Propel, they could out west, they could go maybe Murray Market, they could go to like the distributor with Horizon or Purity. Yeah. And that's how the show's a lot set up, right? You guys bring your folks in and do that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
exactly.
Like, what would you tell a brand? So sitting on the corner saying, like, what do I do? Like, where's my interest best played out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I get that question a lot. And basically what I do tell them is, you know, it's about relationships. At the end of the day, your broker is your sales team. So you need to have deep relationships with them on a variety of fronts. So you need to get along. And so I have an internal policy where we don't work with people we don't like, or you know, just because life's too short and there's a lot of fish in the sea. And I think that runs true for everybody. If you're going to be successful in business, you need to, you know, work with people you like and get along with and have fun with, because that is a churn for success in my view. And you know, each one of us have our own developed relationships in the industry, whether it's Paul Marsham or Pat Higgins or myself. I think we all kind of have been at this a while, so we have a bunch of relationships, and often the people we're working with is people we've worked with in the past that we enjoyed. So, you know, if you look at some of my brands, absolutely, I worked with them at Pure Source, or I worked with them at SunOpta, and you know, had a great time together, and we're like, yeah, let's do this. And I think Pat, you know, runs the same way, and Paul's group as well. And then on the distributor side, I think if you're prepared to do your own sales, I mean, distributors have a lot of products, you know, if Horizon or UNFI, there's tens of thousands of SKUs in their DC, and somebody's got to move that stuff out. And I think it's, you know, whether you want to utilize a service like us or be accountable for that yourself, because there's turns to be made. UNFI has a, you know, minimum turn criteria, and you got kind of a year to get it done. And if you don't, then they're going to turn you over and try to find something that is turning, because they're not making more square footage very easily, as you guys know. So you've got to maximize that space. And we take a similar approach, where we'll give a flyer brand, you know, all of them are not all my old friends, but a lot of them are new entrepreneurs. Well, there's an influx of entrepreneurs in the sector that I think has amazed all of us in the last, you know, four COVID, or five years. Sure.
It's crazy. This is COVID.
It is mental. So we're really saying, hey, let's give it a try, because we think this guy's got something. But are they the right guy? Do they have enough money? Okay. Do they have the marketing savvy? Do they have access to capital? Those things are all things that will emerge as they grow. And if we can't make a strong go of it in 2 years, we'll be gentlemen and say, hey, you know, it's, we haven't been able to do it. So let's part ways, and, you know, maybe you try another tactic or whatever it is. And, the other thing I often say is one of my classic things my people always hear is we work on commission. And so typically the average commission you hear about is 5%, but 5% of nothing is still nothing, and we don't work for free. and so we charge a retainer if it's a startup brand. And right. So, if you know, they've got to be at around $1 million to make our retainer make sense. Right. So you call it $3,500 a month. If you work out a 5%, you're you know, $850,000. So I like to shoot for brands that are $1 million or above. Is kind of our sweet spot, because they've been through the growth pains.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the mathematical piece to a match, right? Is one side of it is chemistry. And, you know, Kenny and I very much work off the same philosophy, as we don't really like working with people we don't like.
We won't.
And then there is a math side, is like, look, we can like you, but like, if I'm going to take, you know, a good chunk of your pennies and you know, you're going to stress about how much value I provide you every month, it's probably a really bad arrangement to start right off the get-go. So
exactly. But you nailed it right on the head, Phil. There. If somebody's stressing about the retainer in month two, I mean, and you know, that's a warning sign for us for sure.
It's probably someone who's
really not, shouldn't be doing this at this moment. They just really don't get the game. I mean, you know, where's Loblaws? You didn't get Loblaws. You're thinking, buddy, there's the timing. I mean, it's the planogram's next year.
Exactly.
What do you want me to do? There's nothing to do. If that's what your whole thing is, you'll phone me in a year. 100%. But how do you explain that to people? Because you know well as I do, like, because we've been this long, and I said, so have I, and so is Phil. So we walk the show, and you'll see people, and they may or may not have a distributor. They may or may not have a broker. They may be a one-person show, maybe a two-person show.
Yeah.
Whether they've built in a distribution model or a broker or whatever, like, how, you know.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time coaching. I will say that kind of comes as part of the bailiwick, is you need to sit with them and go, okay, where's your pricing? Where's your distributor margin? Where's your retail margin? What does that make you be? Have you done a category analysis to see where you're going to land? Where do you want to be in the store? And I actually always say food, drug, mass, where they're charging big entry fees, is a year two or a year three thing from a building a company perspective. Like, we've got, you know, a very strong independent channel in Canada, although I do want to touch on that, you know, that's their position has become weakened during COVID for sure. But, you know, I think that's where the innovation lies. And that's what we need to support these stores But again, yeah, I'll touch on that. But you can get a robust business in play just with the independence, and your cost of entry is way less, and you're going to learn way more about how consumers are interacting with your brand and what are the highlights, the lowlights. It's a way less expensive place to play in the sandbox and figure it out before you're going to pay listing fees or high programs and all that stuff. So it's a gift to food manufacturers and entrepreneurs, that those stores, and they're, it's relationship driven as well. So you're going to meet a lot of friends, and we saw that on the show floor. I mean, people were just so ecstatic to be together again and see their community. It was refreshing.
It was actually wonderful. We were laughing at it Saturday. We found Saturday was like hugs, kisses, and handshakes.
Totally.
Because everybody, I mean, I hadn't seen people in like you probably 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Right. Because we didn't get to go to 2020 CHFA because Phil and Ash, we were on another gig in Florida. Right. So I hadn't been since 2019. Some people had not seen since 2019. It was wonderful to see.
It was wonderful.
Like shake hands or get a hug and how you doing. I found conversations were so.
It was a funny conversation though, because a lot of the brands in the middle of the floor, like we know a bunch of them down the middle of the floor, and the convo by like at 10:30 on Saturday, they're all like, where is everybody? And like, you know what? Just calm down. Like, breathe. If you walk the floor, they're all on the outside wings and they're working their way in. And so like on a normal trade show around 11:30, they'd have made it to the middle.
Yeah.
And they're all like, so at 11, they're all going, what the F? Like, is this show a bomb or what's going on here? Like, we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs. And we were like, no, it's just taking a lot because there are a lot of handshakes. There's a lot of sharing of stories. Relax, they'll get here. So like by 2:30, place like was swarming with people, right? But it was kind of comical, right? Because you had all these experienced sales teams going, oh my God, it's a bomb. It's a bomb. Like it's 11:30. There's nobody in the center of the, and you're like, calm down. It's not a normal
very, very acute observation. We were in aisle 800, and so we were kind of near the middle. I mean, I wasn't stressed at all, but you're right. Yeah. Some of our vendors were like, oh my gosh, nobody showed up. No, trust me.
It's a wash, coming.
You got to tell them, it's been 2 years. Those conversations, I mean, I used to be able to walk any show. Like CHFA, you could walk. If you were just walking, you could walk it in an hour. Absolutely. If you were walking as a buyer, it might have taken me four. Right. This time it took me like 4 hours just to get out of two aisles.
Exactly.
I didn't walk the show in the end because you couldn't, because every aisle, every second booth was a 10 to 15.
I feel like walking the show with the two of you would be really terrible. Like Kenny, I couldn't go more than two booths with Kenny. Like, you know, if he wasn't in front of me, I'd lose him, right? Like,
he didn't like it.
My staff hates it. They actually do tell me, we're going to go to the, you know, meet you for dinner and we'll just meet you there because we know you're going to run into 10 people on the way out of the building.
Yeah,
it is what it is. So
that's the beauty.
It's a joy.
Think of it. How many industries do you get to do that? And where you actually, first off, you want to be stopped because you actually enjoy talking to these people.
Yeah,
it really is a family. Considering, you know, I came from the side of, you know, the evil side. You know, when I was buying, I mean, nobody wanted me there. But you get to know people, and then they learn that you know you can actually play with the devil and still do okay.
Exactly. But
it was a hoot. I mean, I love our side. I love this side. Yeah. I love the independence. Like, thank you.
And I'm never leaving. You know, if you stuck around and went to CFIG for 2 days, I mean, what a stark difference between CHFA and CFIG.
It's a whole different world.
That's their best show. The Toronto one's even worse. You can bowl down those aisles.
But the sad part, they should just learn to just come to this one.
Agreed. Integrate.
Give them an aisle or two. They'd get 100%. Traffic. And they'd actually maybe learn something, because the innovation and the fun does not come out of the large banners.
No.
Nor the large vendors.
No,
all the cool shit comes from the little guys.
No, Pepsi and Coke just buy the guys that figure out how to do it.
Exactly, and then what they've learned now, leave them alone.
Yeah, leave them alone. Exactly.
I mean, put some systems in so they understand money, because honestly, they don't get money sometimes. But otherwise, like, piss off, let them be.
Yeah.
They're way better at the game than Coke will ever be.
Exactly.
In that arena.
In that, yeah, exactly.
In that arena, which is a fun arena, by the way.
It's barrel of laughs.
No, we talk about it all the time, Matt. Same thing. I love this channel because not just the natural channel, the independent grocery channel, like the whole thing. It's just a hoot. I mean, and again, it's mostly because the people are just everyday normal people, right?
Genuine.
They don't have a stick shoved up their ass so far that they can't move. They can make decisions. They try things. You know, yeah. It's just different. Just different.
100%.
I'm gonna go down because I think we get a lot of brands that will ask us these questions, but I think
please do.
Like some of the questions, like, so kind of knowing that you've got to be a certain size to come and be effective, to be able to engage you and be effective, and then also knowing kind of where you stand on like getting into food mass drug and those things are important. So if I'm a brand and let's say I've got these two things, what else do you look for out of brand? Because I think sometimes brands don't understand that you're as much evaluating them as they are evaluating mm-hmm. you along the way. We've certainly seen brands that come in and are surprised that they're, you know, because they just assume that you totally want the business, right? Like,
why wouldn't you? It's a great idea, right?
Oh, yeah.
But... Well, some guys employ that strategy, but I get about 3 or 4 knocks a week, and I might pick a brand a quarter, and that might be ambitious, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So I spend a lot of time, I give everybody 20 minutes or half an hour just to chat, just so that, you know, we're meeting new friends is what I figure. And at the end of the day, you know, I always try to be straight up that, you know, we cause work. We're a sales team. So if you had no salespeople and then suddenly you've got, you know, so I have 30 people, call 7 of them admin, 23 salespeople suddenly turned on, man, oh man, you better have some infrastructure to support us. So who's sales coordinating all that? And who's in the marketing department getting us images and making web banners for the e-commerce side? And I mean, we're a sales group. We're not a marketing team. So we are not engaging in the creation of the material. They have to have that ready to go with. That you're absolutely right. We are analyzing their marketing plan. So what is their web presence look like, you know, whether it's TikTok or, I mean, TikTok's my new favorite thing, or not new favorite thing, but they better have video, you know, you know, YouTube. And then of course, Insta, Facebook speaks to certain classes of clientele and, you know, good old fashioned World Wide Web as a home base, you know, that's where you're kind of storing everything and people can land there and check you out and do whatever. But yeah, that's kind of job one. I look at their background. What's their experience? There's lots of guys out there that are coming into this because they're passionate and have been impacted by a personal health journey. Right. And I love that passion, but they might be coming from an industry that they don't know retail. And that's, I have one vendor like that now, and they have an incredible product, but it's a long road to teach them on every case. We got to sit and stop and talk and go, okay, a free case for Whole Foods works because, and it's just, it's a slower process than expediting it very, very quickly and being able to go out and just nailing a whole bunch of listings. Mm-hmm. And we track how many new stores we land every month. We track how many new product placements in existing stores we get. We track ROI and marketing spends, but yeah, that's a developed skill and to even be able to read our reporting. It comes with an Excel document with 12 tabs and you need a guide to figure out our reporting sometimes. So,
But it's an intelligence you need. Right? Yeah. Like to even know what they're looking at or to appreciate, you know, like little brands get so little data, right? You know, to get stuff is really, really important.
I've had a lot of people say they're amazed at what's possible just by, you know, sharing one report. And I'm sure, you know, all the other decent brokers have a very strong reporting module as well. We use Salesforce.com as our CRM engagement. And it's an Oracle database. So we can, and I have, at PureSource, we implemented Oracle. So I have a couple of my previous PureSource people on staff that are guys. Oracle super users. And we can, we can run queries that'll, we'll bury in queries.
But it's important, right?
It is very important.
And I don't know what you find. I mean, you know, I don't know how many, sort of where you were going. I mean, how many passion plays or cool ideas you get with them not really understanding. Passion is awesome, but it doesn't pay bills.
Right.
Ideas are a dime a dozen. They don't necessarily translate into business.
Exactly.
You have to have other fundamentals built into your world. I mean, passion's great.
Yeah.
right? I might be passionate about a lot of things. I can be passionate about hockey. I'm never going to make the NHL and make a living on it. I'll be broke.
Exactly. So exactly.
Passion going to take me anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the equation. And what's keeps you getting up every morning, but there's other work to be done for sure.
How do you know? So the one a quarter you might pick, are there kind of like absolute flags that you have that kind of go, yeah, this I can make something happen with these guys and
or not.
And, yeah.
Pretty quickly we can identify, you know, just by looking at the category for one.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's another no sugar something or other, I mean, that's pretty robust category. And,
yeah.
And it's already, you know, you're going to compete against Zevia, you're going to compete against, you know, Love Good Fats, you're going to compete against, you know, there's some big players in that space now. Yeah. So you better have a conceptually something different, and then B, you know, how much money do you have at the bank? Who's your marketing manager? You know, all of those things we look at, you know, we are absolutely interviewing them as much as they're interviewing us. You're right on the page.
For sure.
And I'll be straight up when I talk to them. I pull no punches, say it kindly, but, you know, we'll tell them why we aren't. And sometimes we're just full up. You can only chew on so much at one time.
Yeah.
So when we launch a brand, we're full on. So we got to make sure we do right by our clients that are on our roster and not take on too much.
That's a good sign though. I think for any brand that's out there to hear that, you know, is a good sign, right? Is that you've got a standard to uphold, and we don't have capacity, right? Like that's
exactly.
Now, just to be an ass because I can, is, you know, but 24 sounds like a lot.
Yeah,
like,
you're
you know right. What I mean, like if I come in as a brand, I'm thinking, well, I'm gonna get like 1/24 of his time. Mm-hmm. Like just be devil's advocate. That's like 4% of his time. Like, where do I rank in this?
Yeah.
So how do you get past that?
Yeah. I you know what? It's I go to the person to brand ratio. I talk about that. You know, we have 30 people, 24 suppliers. I like to challenge other brokers to say how many brands versus how many people do you have? So I've got 1 point, you know, something.
Yeah.
And I would bet everybody else is 0.9, 0.8, 0.7. That's one of the KPIs that I hold us to. And you're right, it is about time. And it's about time to be able to do that. So having brands that are already being sold to buyers that we already sell to is an attraction. So if I got to go to call it the produce department, and I'm not calling on produce category managers pretty regularly, that's one of the things I look at. Are we already calling on this subcategory or this, the people that are managing this at store, so that this is just an add-on to our conversation with them on a monthly basis anyway, or is this a whole new relationship that we got to go out and door knock? And those are the things that I do kind of behind the scenes. I don't discuss that so much in front, but That has a big part.
Makes sense. For
sure. A smart vendor who's going to you. If I was coming to you, I'd look at that and think, you know, if I have a tea and he already has a tea and a coffee, the coffee and tea buyer are probably the same person.
Exactly.
So, okay, he's seen that person. Maybe every store, he's got four brands going to that person, hopefully not competing, of course.
Right.
But, you know, I'd be thinking, okay, at least I've got odds.
Yeah.
Right. If I'm not, as long as I'm not an outlier, you know, I'm in cleaning aids and the guy's got nothing going on in that category. And how often are your reps going to go down that aisle? They're not.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
too much work to do by one brand.
Yeah. No, you're right on the money. And the store level work, I don't, you know, deli, bakery, center of store, you know, all of those things. That's kind of how I look at it. I don't look at so much by aisle. From a rep perspective, maybe I should, Kenny, but.
Depends on what it is, right?
Yeah. It depends on what it is. But at head office, do we have that relationship is kind of where my mind goes. Because it's not, you know, those guys are got targets on their back. And you sat in that seat and you can't answer every phone call and answer every email.
I won't. So,
yeah, exactly.
Which is why I used to use distributors.
Right.
Or didn't mind having, like, I know a lot of buyers didn't want, they wanted direct. And I always thought, that's great, but you're just managing a shit ton of vendors, having distributors, or having a broker who represents. I mean, you use one that you know I love her. You know, Carol would come in with 10 brands.
Exactly.
That I buy them all. So what did I say? Yeah. Shit, I'll do with Carol because it was easy.
Exactly.
One person, one meeting, 10 brands, I'm done. Like, and then she would do all 100%. The work anyway because she's highly efficient and I wasn't. You know, so it worked out perfect for me. But I love those relationships.
Exactly. And that's what we try to build. Those are our most fruitful relationships by a long shot, is when we can stack a bunch of brands in different subcategories with one category manager. Right. It's right. Knocking out of the park for sure. And that's been another place where we distinguished ourselves, is supplements, actually, is, you know, not a lot of other brokers compete with us on the supplement side. Yeah. Because we are mostly up against direct sales teams, you know, whether it's Factor / Weber or the Jameson Wellness Group or Camprev or whoever. Our brands, so we have Prairie Naturals, we have St. Francis Herb Farm, we've got Suku Gummy Vitamins. We are their direct sales team because these guys sell direct. We don't use distributors as our primary, go-to-store strategy. So it makes us a better broker, in my opinion, is because we have to be out in those stores, you know, booking every single promotion and making sure the orders are getting into the order desk. And so, yeah, it's a very detailed piece.
So you do both sides of it. So you'll manage brands that will have either a distributor and or direct.
Yes,
or strictly direct or strictly distributor.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. Interesting. I didn't know you guys did the straight direct play.
Yeah. And that's happening at Food Drug Mass more and more, is you got warehouses. You don't really need distributors in the middle, per se, unless there's a importation from the US factor that they're adding value. But if it's a Canadian vendor and London Drugs has their own DC, you know, you guys actually always did a great job of sussing out, you know, where was their value and where was their not value. So, yeah.
Well, whatever made sense was either if it was high turning, my DC is better. If it's low turning, someone else's DC is better, obviously.
Exactly.
Well, my money, their money.
Yeah. 100%.
If I can spin this question slightly different. So we obviously go to the show with certain things in mind. What did you see out of the show? Like, so did the show give you any indicators of like what you think is coming? And then what did you see out of the show that might be a little bit different from the way we saw it or brands see it?
Yeah. So I'm going to combine my thought process a little bit between Anaheim and Vancouver from a brand perspective. So certainly the no sugar thing is on fire. I think we saw everything in gummy format through both of those shows. I'm always amazed at how many new chocolate lines I see every, you know, I think that's been like a 20-year trend. There's always new chocolate every companies time. Coming out. Yeah. It's amazing. And I saw we've noticed, and I did see some of this, where the Food Drug Mass buyers are now really attending these shows, you know, in a big way, where CHFA West in particular, you wouldn't get the Eastern head offices coming out there, whether it's Sobeys, Metro, Loblaws, they were all on the floor. And that was very different for me. And I think it goes to show that this is where the innovation is. This is where the growth in their companies are. It might be just a relief to get out of the house too. So it could be some of that with the COVID piece, but and health food stores, I think during COVID suffered mostly because it went to e-commerce and one-stop shopping, as you know, people didn't want to interact or wanted to make less stops in their shopping basket week by week.
For sure.
And I think they lost market share, and that has not come back as of yet. And it may never come back. I am starting to see e-commerce slide a little bit. So we're seeing some downward trending around, accounts like well.ca and other guys like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it just makes sense because people are back out.
We're back shopping. Out.
Yeah, exactly. So,
or the mouse clicks are starting to go towards Expedia and Travelocity.
Other things.
Yes.
100%. Like they were all on that one.
Yeah. Well, I lost my status with WestJet over the COVID. I'm not happy with that.
WestJet, SPG, I lost everything. It's all gone.
What do you do?
I was a little bit disappointed in WestJet that they didn't maintain me. I think they gave me a carrot. They moved me from gold to silver, so I still get, you know, zone 2 loading rather than.
You know what? It doesn't take long to get. Unfortunately, doesn't take long to get it all back.
Once we get back to
open.
Well, you've been at three shows already. You're probably almost already there again.
Yeah, no, I'm reaching that goal. That's for sure. Lounge access. Trust, when you travel a lot, that stuff makes all the difference in the world. It sounds elitist, but it's not. It's just, you know, it's mental health is what it is.
I used to tell everybody, you know what?
Yeah.
It's either 11 o'clock checkout or 3 o'clock checkout. Huge difference. Huge difference. Yeah. It's exactly. either zone two or zone three. One, I have to run to find bag space. One, I don't. Exactly. And you don't, you know, I know people think it's bullshit. Travel enough. You'll figure it out. No, all those little important. Perks.
The little are things huge. Matter. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Amazing. Matt, thank you for jumping on here. We're really so appreciative that you could join us.
It's a lot of fun. It's like just chatting with my friends. I forgot we were recording.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's good to hear too, because that's hopefully what we try to convey when we do this thing is that it's just, you know, just shooting the shit in the morning, in this case out here. So
absolutely.
We have,
you're doing a great job, guys. I know you got quite a following and well-deserved. So.
Well, we're trying.
We have one last question. We've never tried this before, but we're curious if there's anyone that is in the industry that you'd want to hear on the podcast. Yeah, if you can't think of it now, it's totally cool. Now,
but if you don't mind, maybe let us know.
Yeah,
I would love some retailer, some, and I can't say I've listened to all your podcasts, but often it's on the supply side.
Yeah, correct.
It's hard to get the retailers on, though. I tell you, and it's funny you'd say that. So again, if you do know somebody, especially in your world, that'd be willing, because a lot of the big guys have to go through 50 layers.
Totally.
I'm not allowed to talk to the other guy. I'm thinking, well, I don't want to talk to the other guy. The other guy doesn't know shit about what I'm going to ask.
I want
the guy who knows or the girl or gal who knows the stuff.
Yeah.
I want the right woman or right man on the show. I want to talk to them and say, what's going on out there? Tell us what's happening.
I got a few. I'll send you some notes around some indies that aren't afraid to speak to off.
We would love that.
No trade secrets. You can tell them. We're not looking for trade secrets. Just help for the people coming through, because what you're doing is, you know, the amount of help you may not realize, but the amount of help you give people who are listening to starting up is huge. Because now they're thinking, okay, there's this retainer thing I never knew. They're thinking, okay, how do I do this? Maybe, do I use them as strictly sales? Do I do this with shipping? That's all good stuff they need to understand.
Yeah. Exactly. So
appreciate it, man.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, no problem.
And if people wanted to find you, get a hold of you, or, you know, I'm a brand listening and saying, okay, what, where is this guy? Like, how do they find you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I keep a pretty high profile on social media. You certainly can find me on LinkedIn. I actually had several people at CHFA tell me, oh my gosh, nice to meet you in person after following you all this time. So I'm sure you guys get
fantastic.
That. Yeah. Yeah. And certainly on the website, there's a link to all of our emails, I believe.
Yep.
And, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Insta, I'm pretty much everywhere. And if you're in the town of Fergus, I'm on Main Street and stop in for a coffee.
Not the old house in Guelph. Don't go there.
No, yes. Not. Don't stop by the old house in Guelph.
Well, unless you want to see the house, whatever.
I mean, right.
It's a historical thing. This is the house that Matt built is the plaque on the outside.
It's part of the tour. It's part of the tour.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Matt.
My early days as a Mason, you know, that's right.
That's awesome. That's Matt, hilarious. Thanks. I really appreciate you coming on. Seriously.
Thanks for having me, guys. Much appreciated.
Our pleasure. All right. Take care, buddy.
Okay.
Phil, stick around for a bit.
You got it.
See ya.
Ciao, guys. Yeah. Well, Mr. Chang, what do you think?
I think he's a cool dude. I like him. I like him a lot. And I like what came out of that. Like, I think, I think there's a lot there. Like, I think just the aha moment that, like, because we do get brands that go, oh, they don't actually want me. Like, I wouldn't, like.
Well, yeah, and I like the fact that he's honest enough to say, we don't want you, and here's why we don't want you. One, you know what? You may not be able to afford us because we can't, and I do like the fact we can't do it for free. So really, to make it make sense, like a $500,000 a year brand, a 5% commission is 25 grand. Yeah. It's 2,000 a month. For these guys, it might be, guys, you know.
What am I supposed to
do? We can't allocate enough time to make that make sense for us, which obviously then doesn't make sense for you.
Yeah.
You're a $1 million brand at $50,000 a year of commissions.
And look, like that kind of expertise doesn't get you our expertise, right? Like we're actually good at what we do. So it's going to cost you more than that, right? Like.
Well, it's hard to tell people that, though. Like, I go out and sell our services.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people think, well, that seems like a lot. And you're thinking, well, it is a lot.
It is because a lot.
It's taken me 40 some years
to
jam all this shit into this noggin of mine. right? And I don't mind giving you some of it for peanuts, but you know, I same thing. I have a family to feed. I've got other things I need to do too, right? I enjoyed that though. I do. I love talking. I just like. I see. But I've known Matt for a long time. I like anybody who's been in this industry for a while.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's.
I do. I just. I like it.
There's something. There's just, you know, the way he goes. He's so matter of fact about all of it too. It's kind of cool.
Which is good though. But if you notice that seems to run throughout.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you talk to, you know, when we talk to for Patrick or we talk to Blake or any of these guys that have been around. There tends not to be. I mean, the bullshit is in the stories.
Yeah.
Bullshit isn't in the business. The business side, they're very clear. In the stories, you can never trust any of these guys. They're stories. They're all full of shit.
They're all larger than life.
Exactly. But 100%. You know what? The stories are still pretty good.
But
otherwise, on the business side, I love the fact that, you know, these guys are a pretty honest group. I mean, it is what it is. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And it's important for brands to listen to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the Sashas of the world and stuff like that, you know, when they're telling you shit, listen to it. He's a good kid. He does listen. So it's different, but you know what I mean? Yeah. All good. I really enjoyed that. Very good.
Awesome. So thanks for listening. And then,
Thanks everybody.
We'll see you next time.